been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday live edition. It is the Thursday, January 4th live edition of Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, brought to you by Gunderson Capital Management in Carlsbad, California. We're not exactly shivering here this morning, but we're in the 50s, high 50s, and I saw South Carolina, Charleston had snow yesterday, so it's wild and woolly, and I know it's got to be pretty cold in Minnesota this morning. The Dow is at 25,000. And 67 points. That is a new all-time high. It breached the 25,000 level this morning, and the water spilled over the dam, and it's flowing into portfolios all across America. The S&P 500 is up 13 points this morning. It works out to about 0.5%. The S&P blew through 2,700 like a knife through hot butter. It is at 2,725 right now. And even though the NASDAQ is up right now 15 points, the NASDAQ is definitely lagging the Dow and the S&P. Now, it's been just the reverse of that here the last few days. But today it's like, hey, you know what? We're going to kind of take the day off here. You run with it for a while. And the baton's kind of been handed off to the Dow here this morning. Nevertheless, the NASDAQ is up 14 points, 14 points right now to 7,079. Crude oil's up 7 cents to 61.70. Gold's down $2 to 13.16. Silver is basically flat. And all that all-important bond market, that behemoth, that giant bond market is down today with interest rates moving up to 2.47% this morning, and the VIX flat, as it's been for a long, long time. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson in the Carlsbad BSN studios, broadcasting live this morning as we have another record-setting day as the Dow crushes and moves right through the 25,000 level. Now, I don't know where it's going to close today, but that's where it's at currently. And, of course, the NASDAQ blew through that elusive 7,000 level here recently. That's new all-time record. And the S&P blowing through that 2,700 level. Now, a lot of people had target prices on the S&P 500 this year of 2,700.
That's right.
And we're at 2,700. So we have to be a little careful here about valuations on the market. And it is a day today where the Dow and the blue chips are leading the way. It should be a good day for our income portfolio, which is mostly large cap dividend paying stocks. And even though, like I say, the NASDAQ and tech stocks are up today, they are definitely lagging behind their large cap blue chip counterparts. Well, let's see. What is driving this market today? We have the FOMC minutes coming out yesterday. What did they show? Now, these are the notes taken during the December meeting, at which rates were hiked by another 25 basis points. And, of course, we're looking for another 4 hikes this year, which does not bode well for the bond market. However, the minutes did show that a couple of the participants on the FOMC, the Federal Open Market Committee, were wary of the combination of perky stock prices and non-existent volatility. I just talked about those two indexes.
Yeah.
Perky stock prices, Dow 25,000, and what's the VIX doing today? VXX.
Probably down.
You know, we show that chart every week in the newsletter, don't we?
It's down almost... it's down 0.75%.
And what's the chart look like over the last, just crushed?
It looks like, why would anyone ever be in it right now?
Right now, exactly. Right now. I mean, there will be a time when there will be a lot of money to be made in the volatility index. But boy, I'll tell you what, if you've been investing, what was the all-time high on the VXX, by the way?
It says 37,000.
That is correct. Split adjusted.
Split adjusted.
It's split adjusted. Okay, so it's gone from 37,000 to $26 a share since 2010. So if you were a guy, I remember a call I got 3 years ago maybe from a grandmother. Her son had invested her in the volatility index, leveraged 3 times.
You know, just this year it went from 109, around the 100 to 26, just this past year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, it got crushed, and it is an index, and in the app we do have a screen that ranks the indexes. And guess what has been at the bottom of the indexes, both the VIX and the S&P. Inverse.
Yep.
Those are the two worst things to have invested in. So everybody who comes on CNBC and on Fox News, there was another one on today. He's on quite often.
Yeah.
He is the most negative person I have ever heard in my life. I've heard negative people before. I've talked to hundreds, maybe thousands of people during my career. And there do tend to be people that are negative and cynical, but this guy's right up there with the best of the best. And people that have been telling you to invest in volatility and to be short the market, those are have been and continue to be the worst two indexes in the entire market. All right? That's why the ranking of those indexes is so important. If we look at the indexes today, Mr. Stephen, pull up our ranking of the indexes. What's the top-ranked index right now in our app? It has been recently Argentina.
Yeah, it's still Argentina and then Japan.
Is the NASDAQ still up there?
Let's see. No, Dow Jones is up there. Yeah. S&P.
Okay. Those are the best indexes in the world. The inverse indexes and investing in volatility are the worst. Do you want to invest in the best or do you want to invest in the worst? But I'm a contrarian.
Well, they'll be right eventually.
The contrarians have been slayed. Are there any contrarians left? You know, about the time they're all gone and everybody's positive, it'll be time to become a contrarian.
That's right.
But in the meantime, the contrarians have just... I have not seen... Who's my friend whose hair stood up on the back of his neck when he met me? Who's my bearish friend?
Is that Peter?
Peter Schiff. Okay. Where is Peter Schiff?
The gold guy.
The guy that lived in Puerto Rico. Did the hurricane get him? I have not seen him on the news for a long, long time. Still, the majority of the Federal Open Market participants remain in favor of continuing the slow pace of rate hikes. And what's that doing to the market? It's crushing the dollar. Let's take a look at UUP, which is an ETF that allows you to invest. It's getting weaker. Since December, it's gone from, it's down about 4%. The dollar is getting ready to hit a new 52-week low. That's because the Fed is behind the curve. Okay, well, you're an investor. You care more about what impact does that have on your portfolio. When the dollar goes down, commodities go up. It's pretty simple. And also a lot of emerging markets that produce commodities. Why do you think Argentina is one of the leading indexes in the world? They produce a lot of commodities. And a weak U.S. dollar is helping them along with a leader in Argentina who they compare to Donald Trump. He's a former businessman. Okay, we're getting news on the economy today. That will be something that my eyes will be glued to, as always, but more so this year than ever, because we're now in the 9th year of expansion in the economy. The report today is good. Jobless claims rise after they edge higher to 250,000, but that's about what we were expecting. Anything under 300,000 is good. I continue to say that a tight labor market is on its way, and that's inflationary in nature. Okay, that's another reason why you're seeing commodity prices explode. Inflation helps some asset classes, and inflation hurts some asset classes. What is the asset class that gets hurt the most by inflation? The bond market. And what's the asset class that gets helped the most by inflation? Commodities. Well, This is confirmed by this next story. Employers announced the lowest job cut level ever. Well, not ever, since 1990. 27 years. Employers announced 418,000 job cuts in 2017. That's the lowest annual number since 1990. Retail tops the list of job cuts. Well, that makes sense. That the Amazon effect. And healthcare announced job cuts of 40,000. However, it's creating a tight labor market, which is inflationary in nature. Now, where do we put our money because of this? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. The marijuana stocks have been flying lately. Oh, my gosh. That, you know, we sent out some live trades last week. One of them's up 75% already. The other one's up 88%. And they are pulling back today. Australia becomes the fourth country in the world to legalize medicinal marijuana exports. So I guess we'll have freighters coming into San Diego from Australia carrying containers of marijuana bales for the dispensaries or wherever else you buy marijuana these days. Now that California has legalized it, they estimate that the marijuana market, medicinal marijuana. Now, isn't that a bit of a misnomer? The medicinal. How much of it is recreational marijuana? And we know that Constellation Brands, the big maker of alcoholic beverages, invested in a marijuana company because they say that a lot of people are turning away from wine to marijuana to relax themselves, I guess, when they get home from a stressful day at work. And Constellation Brands wants to diversify. That's why they call it brands. You know, they own Ballast Point. They own Canandaigua Wines. They own Corona beer, and soon they'll have, I'm sure they'll start branding this stuff. Despite growing demand, only Uruguay, Canada, and the Netherlands have so far legalized the export of medicinal cannabis.
Well, I saw this morning that Jeff Sessions, did you see that, the news on
you
Jeff
Sessions?
You know
what, I got a text message from Jane about Jeff Sessions. What was that?
He rolled back the Obama policy that gave states leeway to allow marijuana for recreational purposes.
Well,
so I don't know what that, I don't know if they're actually going to go into the states now and try to, I don't know, confiscate some recreational
stores. I did not see that news, but I have an article that we're preparing for Seeking Alpha.
So that might be why everything, they're all down.
They're
today.
All down about 10% today. I get it.
But I don't know what, I don't know what it means because federally it was always illegal.
Yes.
But I guess Obama made it so that they wouldn't actually act on it.
So the states couldn't.
No, the states are the ones that made it legal. But yes, the federal was always
illegal. Oh, you're saying the federals can overturn the vote of California?
I don't know. No, that's what I'm asking. Well, I don't know what.
It's having an impact on the
Yeah, I don't
weed
know if they're
going
to go into the states now and try to
Okay, I'll get some clarity everything. On that because, yeah, well, this is part of the article that we're writing. All right, here's important news. Now, we talked about the Fed minutes, the FOMC, worried about a tight labor market. And in fact, Challenger, which follows the employment market, the tight labor market coupled with uncertainty surrounding healthcare and taxes possibly kept employers from making any long-term staffing decisions. However, 2018 may see an increase in hiring. So that's just going to make for a tighter labor market, and that's inflationary in nature, and the Fed hiking rates is inflationary in nature. Now, here's a couple of contrasting. It helps a lot of the emerging markets, a lot of the international markets, especially the ones that produce commodities, the Australias of the world, the Canadas of the world, Argentina, etc. Now let's take a look, however. Okay, so think international. The Oppenheimer Internet. So do you invest in international bonds or do you invest in international stocks, equities? Oppenheimer International Bond Fund announced their results for 2017. The International Bond Fund trailed the S&P 500 by 8%. That's pretty bad, all right? Now, on the other hand, and remember, I'm the guy last year, beginning of the year, said avoid bonds at all costs. That was pretty good advice because the S&P 500 trounced the bond market, all right? And this year, I'm saying I think you'll see what's one of my predictions I've made. You've got two written
you
down so far.
Bonds will be negative in 2018.
Yes. Okay, now, on the other hand, they announced that their International Growth Fund beat the S&P by 4%. Oh. And we've been seeing that in our newsletter each week as we report. We have a scorecard that we report every week on all of the indexes that I believe are the most important ones. And we give their weekly performance and their year-to-date performance, correct?
Correct.
And it's been a fact for a long time that the international markets, equity markets, not bond markets, equity markets have been a better place to be than the U.S. That's number one. And number two, stocks or equities have trounced bonds now for the last, 18 months or so? I called the top in the market, bond market, in July of 2016. I was almost right on with my top in the market. I was a few weeks late with my bottom in the S&P 500 back in 2009. But I called the bottom in the S&P 500 on March 27th, 2009, and have been in it ever since. And I called a top in the bond market. You can look at my article on Seeking Alpha. I called a top in the bond market in June, July of 2016. And that was the top so far. You might want to keep listening to the Best Stocks Now radio hour, especially if you believe in asset allocation. All right. China is to retain their growth target of around 6.5% in 2018. China targets economic growth of 6.5%. We own quite a few Chinese stocks right now.
Yeah.
Tencent would be a good example. And I bought a new one yesterday. I don't know if you caught that or not. I kind of did it under the radar.
Oh, yeah.
Sent out a live trading alert that I was adding a Chinese stock to my ultra growth portfolio. Well, one of the reasons is it's one of the fastest growing economies in the world. Let's not forget Japan. You know, the Japanese markets were closed from Monday to Wednesday. New Year's is a big deal in Japan. It's a big deal in China, bigger deal than it is in the U.S. Most of the Asian markets were closed. But Japan started off the year with a 3.3% move in one day. You know, their market's right about the same price. We're almost at parity. They're at 23,506. And that was the highest opening day for Japan since 1992. They traded higher on the back of a strong lead from Wall Street, obviously, and manufacturing data from the U.S. and China reinforcing optimism about the world economy. So we do have some exposure. I can think of...
Well, they're up another 3.5% today, too.
There you go. I can think... You know, I think it's one of the highest ranked indexes. It's up there when you look at the indexes overall. I can think of two offhand Japan stocks that we own. Maybe we own more, but Japan continues to be a great place to be invested. And I would say that the leading reason for that is the healthy economy in China. But even more than that, Japan has the loosest monetary policy, Abenomics. Totally loose. They are depending totally on monetary policy. They continue their massive bond buybacks. They continue their massive quantitative easing. And the Japanese bond market, their yield has been hovering at zero.
Yeah.
Where did it close last week? If you look at the newsletter, I don't think
it's 0.01.
Yeah. I mean, you can borrow money for nothing in Japan.
Yeah.
All right. Now, how about the semiconductors? How about Tesla? How about blockchain? How about Bitcoin? More on that when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now on the Radio Hour. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, where we have another record-setting day on the Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ. NASDAQ is well above 7,000 now. In fact, it's got an 82-point lead on 7,000. The Dow is also 82 points. There's your number of the day if you're playing Powerball. The Dow is 82 points above 25,000, and the S&P 500 is now 26 points above 2,700. Are you getting tired of winning yet, Damon?
Not yet.
Remember Trump? You're going to get tired. You're going to say, I'm getting tired of winning.
Please stop winning, President Trump.
Please, I just can't take this winning anymore. Well, the Fed's a little worried about all of the winning that's been taking place in the market. I haven't heard irrational exuberance yet, but let's just remember, we got to keep a close eye on valuation, all right? I haven't seen a lot of companies. I saw one today come out with what the tax cut, the impact that it will have on their bottom line. I can't remember who it was, but they said, look, it's going to improve our bottom line. And right now, the earnings estimates that are out there for the S&P 500 are not really taking into account the tax cuts because every company is different. But I was just saying that across the board, I think it's going to raise S&P 500 earnings by 5 to 10% this year. But the official numbers aren't out yet because it's obviously eventually got to happen company by company. And that is in the process right now. And I got to believe we're now in earnings season.
Yeah, we are.
We will begin, it usually kicks off with Alcoa. Okay, now if you go to your Market Smith, you type in AA down in the far right-hand corner.
117.
Yeah, now I got to believe they're not first anymore then. Okay, let's take a look at Yahoo maybe. Well, there is no Yahoo anymore. I forgot. Who else is up? Oh, the banks, the big banks, Wells Fargo. Okay, when's Wells Fargo going to? 112.
Seems like the first day.
A week from tomorrow. So next week is the beginning of earnings season, all right? And I got to believe that as each company reports their earnings, without a doubt, they already are penciling in and figuring out the impact of the tax cut, which is now law. You see, they could not make any kind of projections until that was actually law. And the analysts could not revise earnings estimates upwards until it was law. When did it become law? Or the right before Christmas? And now you've got an earnings season. By the way, do you see the chart on Wells Fargo today, WFC, which will be reporting earnings on 112?
Yeah, I do.
Breaking out to new all-time highs. Okay, what?
There are some companies reporting today.
Today?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're nothing consequential.
No, AZZ.
Marijuana
Monsanto,
stocks.
Oh, Sonic, Walgreens.
Well, that's pretty big.
But there's only 11.
Okay, well, that's...
And there's two tomorrow.
Yeah, and in this week's newsletter...
Hey, tomorrow's Constellation Brands.
Well, you know, how's my Constellation Brands, which is actually a play on marijuana. Constellation Brands, is that a beautiful chart?
Yeah,
that's
it's a good stock.
That's a beautiful thing to behold. All right, more news on the bond market, and it's not good. Morgan Stanley has cut their junk bond allocation to zero.
Ooh.
I can't remember the last time that happened. So if you're chasing yield by buying junk bonds because their yield is so juicy, well, your principal is at risk. Morgan Stanley, tax cuts could lead to better short-term growth, but it could cause the sorts of excesses which precede a recession. This is something that the credit markets figure out way before equities. And you know what? That's true. One of the indicators that I watch is the junk bond because it's a leading indicator for the market. Now, let's pull up JNK here. The junk bond market is booming right now. You see the rally it's had since December?
Yeah.
JNK. Okay, let's keep our eye on JNK. In fact, we should add that as one of the indexes in our scorecard.
5.6% yield.
I think we use HYG, don't we? The high yield.
We have HYG.
Okay, so let's take a look at HYG, which is the junk.
It looks exactly the same.
It looks exactly the same. What's the yield on the junk bond index? 5.1%. That sounds attractive, doesn't it? You're out there saying, you know what? Treasury's yielding 2.5 right now. A CD is yielding about 1%. I can go to the junk bond index and buy an ETF that tracks the junk bond index and get 5.1%. But yeah, it's very, very vulnerable to capital depreciation. So sure, you might get your 5% in interest, but if you lose 10% in principal,
yeah,
it's all about total return. And Morgan Stanley Wealth cuts their junk allocation to zero. Of course, I cut it to zero 18 months ago. Just for fun, Stephen, look at our scorecard in the newsletter, which we'll be working on tomorrow. How did HYG finish the year 2017? And while you're doing that, I want to say that the semiconductors have started off very strong in 2018. The semiconductors were up 40% last year, but what was the month of December like for the semiconductors?
It was very flat.
In one word, horrible. pretty stiff sell-off in the semis. But, in fact, the SOX index dipped 6.6% after Thanksgiving, and there were a lot of the individual stocks like Lam, NVIDIA, etc. They were down about 15%, right? We got caught in a couple of options flat-footed.
Yep.
You know, it just wasn't good. What was the trigger that caused this? Well, it was the rotation out of, all of a sudden, out of tech and into the financials and into energy. But, you know, we started the new year. The semis started off the year. They're up 4% year to date. Okay, now give me a report on HYG. How did it do last year?
Last year it was up.
It was up 8%.
0.79%.
That's it?
That's it.
How about, do you see the year before, if you go?
2016 final, 7.4%.
Okay, so the junk bond index was up 7.4%.
In 2016.
And last year it was up 0.7%.
That is correct.
That is not good, okay? And I think you'll see, I think there's no question. I think you can bank on my prediction that the bond market will deliver negative returns. Now, if you're with an asset allocation firm, a traditional asset allocation firm, I talked with some traditional asset allocators yesterday, and they totally agree with me on the bond market. Now, I don't know what they're doing about it, but I know what I'm doing about it. I have had no exposure to the bond market since July of 2016, when I called a top in the bond market. I would continue to have zero exposure to a very dangerous bond market. Okay, your friend Elon is in the news today. You know, what's that line on Tesla that I said is the support line?
300.
Exactly.
They're at like 308, is that right?
Okay, so on his truck news, Tesla went running up to 347.
Right.
Well above its 300 support line. It still has a 300 floor. That's the floor in Tesla, 300. That's the floorboard, okay? It's at 311 today. It got down as low as, let's see, how low did it go?
305.
Got down to 305 doing the limbo this morning. How low can you go? Why?
Model 3s.
The Model 3s are not coming off the assembly line. Now, that's just bad management. Why would you take all of these orders for these cars if you can't deliver the goods? I'll give you a little story that Stephen doesn't know, but I found out. We have a local well that sells alkaline water, Carlsbad.
That's right.
It's world famous.
Yep.
And I like alkaline water because if you have an acid stomach, which the stock market has a tendency to cause an acid stomach, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Some days worse than others. So I drink alkaline water to offset, to balance the pH lining of my stomach, and it works great, and it's very tasty water.
You sound like a hippie.
Do I?
Yeah.
Do they drink alkaline water?
I'm sure of it.
Is there some reason? Does it make me in tune with the planet a little more,
a little
and
bit.
Nature and everything? And Garden of Eden. All right, so we have sparklets here at work. I said, Stephen, call Carlsbad Water and switch over, would you?
Not happening.
Okay, well, we never heard from them. Right. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you call them or did you just sign up for it?
I signed up for it online.
Yeah, okay. Well, the old man picked up the phone yesterday.
All right.
How long ago did you sign up for it?
Probably a month ago.
Yeah. Where's my alkaline water? Yeah. Where's the guy carrying the bottle?
Yeah.
Okay.
I never checked that back up on it.
Well, I called back. It's a 4-month wait to even get delivery.
Oh, gosh.
What good does it do to sell a product if you can't get it out to the customer, Tesla, Elon? 300's the floor. If it bakes to 300, look out below. I'm anti-Tesla. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, where we have another record-setting day in the market. 25,000 has been breached, 2,700 has been breached, and 7,000 has been breached. And the Fed a little bit worried about, what did they call it, perky markets and low volatility. I think there's complacency, right? I think that would be the word that you would use right now. People are just a little bit complacent, like they got in Bitcoin, thinking that it would go up every day, and that leads into my next story. Now, if you're in my age bracket, Ripple. In our day, Stephen, like the drunks, the alcoholics, the winos. There was a word, winos. Now we're politically correct. You know, it's a disease. They drank Ripple wine. You know why they drank Ripple wine? Because it was very, very inexpensive. It was the cheapest wine out there. But today, Ripple has another meaning. And Stephen, you could tell us a little bit about Ripple here.
It is a cryptocurrency, another cryptocurrency. But there's thousands of cryptocurrencies out there.
But Ripple is one of the top five, right?
It has become the second biggest. The second most valuable.
So it has surpassed...
It has a market cap of $120 billion.
$120 billion.
Bitcoin is $245 billion.
And who's number three?
I believe it's Ethereum.
Ethereum?
Ether.
And of course, we know that the creator of Ethereum has sold all of his coins. I don't know if he's getting back in. He sold all. And what's the fourth one that trades on?
Well, then
on?
There's Litecoin.
Litecoin.
Those are the big ones on
Coinbase.
Actually,
it's Litecoin.
Ripple isn't on Coinbase yet.
Okay.
But once it gets on there,
look out.
Yeah.
And Ripple was up another 20%.
Just the other day, 2 weeks ago, I was watching Coinbase. They added Bitcoin Cash to their app, and it trades around probably 1,500. The second it went on Coinbase, it was up to 8,000. And then it went back down to 2,000.
Well, since the year
began... So people knew it was going into Coinbase, got in, and then bailed right when it got out.
Well, since the year began, Ripple is up 65%. When did the year begin? Tuesday.
4 days ago.
Adding in coins not in circulation, Ripple is worth $380 billion, says Mike Novogratz. Let's see, at the $380 billion valuation, Ripple Labs, who created Ripple, is worth $225 billion, making it the globe's 10th most valuable company. CEO Chris Larson, well, I wonder if it's the Chris Larson I know.
I know, right?
I don't know. I wouldn't think he'd create a cryptocurrency. Chris Larson is worth $55 billion, tying Mark Zuckerberg as the fifth wealthiest person on the planet. Things that don't make sense don't last. Be careful out there, is what Mark Novogratz says. I could not agree more. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Well, Ripple is trying to, they're hoping that to bring blockchain benefits to financial institutions.
And we will have an article out on blockchain. That's my next project, okay? We're writing on the alternatives for Seeking Alpha right now, the marijuana boom in marijuana, even though I'm not a fan, you can't ignore these stocks that have become $3 billion. One of them is a $5 billion market cap company now. And, of course, now there's marijuana ETFs exploding onto the scene. These companies don't have any earnings for the most part. And you've got Australia now becoming the fifth country to announce that they have legalized the export. You've got Canada, which we looked at the population of Canada yesterday. I had one of my clients in, and he said, how many people live in Canada? I said, well, it's as much as California, 36 billion.
Million.
Billion.
Million.
Billion.
People?
Million. You're right.
Like, what are you talking about?
You know, I talk about these market caps all the time and everything. I talk about Ripple being worth $225 billion. Yeah, there's only 7 billion people on the planet. So there's no way 33 billion.
Canada would be huge.
Yes, that would be. they'd be eating up all of the soybeans in the world. Anyways, Canada's 36, and I think California's 39 million. But that's 75 million people now that are in the market, potential market. I don't know what percentage inhale. Bill Clinton never inhaled.
Massachusetts and Maine, I think, are going to legalize it this year, too.
Well, I mean, it's just a matter of time before every state in America.
Well, who knows
except
now?
Except maybe the Bible Belt.
With Sessions cracking
well,
down.
Well, it sounds like Sessions, yeah. I got to look into that.
People are. I read an article about it, and people are unsure what it means. So no one knows, really.
Well, we'll close with two more Bitcoin pieces of news. But listen, if you order the newsletter, our assembly line's working just fine.
Yeah, because
we're not dishing out 1,000 cars a week on our assembly line when there's 350,000 orders for Model S, Model X, Model 3. Okay. We'll get the newsletter out to you tomorrow. We don't say, like, you know what, in the next 6 months sometime, we have so much demand for the news, we'll get it out to you. We have a lot of demand for the newsletter. Don't get me wrong, but we'll get it out to you tomorrow. Last Bitcoin story, two. Venezuela, that's our friend Nicolas Maduro. He's seeking miners for his Petro coin, which he's valuing at $267 billion. And lastly, Merrill Lynch bars trading in Bitcoin fund and futures. Other prediction, what is it? What's my prediction 2018? Crackdown.
Crackdowns on crypto.
A big crackdown. Be careful. All right. Well, listen. If you're searching out a wealth manager, I can tell you that the vast majority of wealth managers in America are asset allocation models. Meaning, they balance your bonds versus your stocks, and the older you get, the more bonds you need to own, and they rebalance once a quarter. That is the model that has taken over my industry. I call it the meteorocketization of my industry. I remain an active manager. That doesn't mean I'm buying and whipping in and out of stocks on a daily basis. That means I'm in the leading asset classes now, and I avoid the worst asset classes now. I'm in the leading indexes now. I avoid the worst indexes now. And when it comes to the actual choosing of the members of the portfolios that I run, it's the best stocks now based on valuation and based on momentum, performance, those two, because valuation alone can lead to value traps. Momentum alone can ignore value. They're both important. They need to be balanced. If you'd like to talk to us about money management in 2018, GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.